Christian greetings to each one. Good to be in God's house to worship again. I'd like to take our thoughts from the book of Titus, Titus chapter 2 particularly. The book of Titus is a rather short book, only three chapters, but it does have a lot of direction for us. I believe Titus was a Greek believer, converted from paganism to faith in Christ, and he had been left on the island of Crete to help straighten out some matters there. And the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to Titus giving him instructions for various groups of people in the church, emphasizing the need for upright, godly living. So I would like to read, I think I'll read the whole chapter 2, although we're not necessarily going to expound on the whole chapter, but I'd like to read the whole chapter. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged woman, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In this chapter, we see counsel is given to Christians in specific age brackets. It starts with the aged men and then to the aged women. Has been said, everyone wants to live a long time, but no one wants to be old. I don't really agree with that thought. As Christians, we should be happy and content in whatever stage of life we find ourselves in. Here it says, aged men. So how old does one need to be considered aged? Many places have senior citizen discounts. So I suppose if you're taking advantage of them, you're aged. Verse 6 addresses young men. So if you're not young, I suppose you're old. But I think we can all profit this morning from the instructions here. The instructions that are given to the aged, I think all age groups can profit from it. After all, if we live long enough, all will be there sooner or later. Verse 1, sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is teaching that is fully in accord with the Word of God. As I was preparing to speak in this passage, I was trying to figure out if I should speak in the first, second, or third person. So it will probably be a mix. But I would like to say at the beginning, I don't feel like I'm old and have attained. Yes, I do feel old, but as to these attributes that we're looking at, I'm still working on them just as you are. 1 Timothy 5, 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. So I believe it's right to show respect to someone because of their age. And I think in everyday life, we do well to do things for older folks that will make life easier for them. Common courtesies. There are also some older folks, the things they do and the life they live, that's not respectable. But I think here Paul was referring to the aged men that are in part of the church. Their lives were commendable, and therefore they were to be respected. So we respect those who have labored long in life, a living example of a holy life. I believe the church has and still does benefit greatly because of faithful men in the past and also in the present. I don't know how many of you received the Sword and Trumpet monthly publication, but it has a feature in, a monthly feature called the Person of the Month, and it usually has some history there of the person, men who have contributed to the cause of the Mennonite Church in years gone by. Just to name a few, A.D. Wenger, Benz Hershey, Oreo Miller, Daniel Kaufman, and the list goes on, as you can imagine, if they have a new person every month. Men that we didn't know but have influenced the church and still influences our culture. Will your name or my name be ever in the list, the Sword and Trumpet of the Person of the Month feature? Probably not. And that's not a problem. But is our life as aged men, or any person for that matter, does my life invite respect? Is the influence of my life causing others to respect the church and honor God? You know, if we want to be an aged man that is respected in the church and in the community, we need to start now. Research has shown that personalities really don't change much over time. Of course, we believe that the Lord can change anybody, anytime. But generally, godly, pleasant, kind, older folks are that way because they developed those virtues when they were younger. So in verse 2 and 3, we are given instructions for older men. Titus was to teach. These instructions include things that Titus was to teach. And there were six qualities of good character. I believe each character is a mark of maturity. First one, older men are to be sober. And I think this is for all age groups. Sober-minded person is calm, balanced. He avoids extravagance and overindulgence. That comes into what Brother Wesley was sharing. He was sharing it more maybe on the young people's end of the life spectrum, but we all need to be careful that we don't overindulge in many things. Old aged man is balanced, has balanced judgment, the ability to discern between what is important and what is trivial. Years of experience helps in this. Knowing God's word and applying it to our everyday living helps us to know what is important. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of excellent spirit. Everyone should be careful in their speech. But because of the respect and the deference we show to the aged, I believe they need to be doubly careful. We have the account of Rehoboam in 1 Kings 12. And you Bible readers know the account there. But he decided to take counsel of the young men, and it caused the kingdom to be divided. So I would say, when a young man gives his opinion, we respectfully listen, consider it for what it is. When an aged man gives his thoughts, we listen and consider it for what it is and who said it. If he has been faithful in these things for many years, we are more readily to accept it. So it behooves the aged to live soberly. Second character, older men are to be grave. I think the word grave means to have an intense conviction about the seriousness of life. A grave person avoids the attitude which implies that life is just a big game. Why do aged men need to be reminded to be grave? I think age does not cause a tempter to cease from tempting us. Satan does not cease tempting us at the age of 65. Older men should be reverent and dignified. They do not laugh at things that are sinful or off color. Very obnoxious when older men tell off-color jokes. It's never right, but it seems like maybe it's even more obnoxious when older men do. Older people have seen many things in their lives. They have seen the results of sin and the misery it causes. I don't think there was foolishness in the life of Moses, in his life's experience. Leading a group of 2 or 3 million people was a grave undertaking, to say the least. So we're not in charge of a group of people that size, but there are those that are depending on us. And it is serious business. It is serious business to lead our families, our homes, our churches. Serious business to lead them in the right way. To be grave does not mean that one must be severe, stern, or gloomy, but he is serious-minded because life is serious. Choices a person needs to make call for serious thinking. Asking for advice from men who have lived through good times and bad. Think of men like Jethro. He had a lot of wisdom. And he saw how Moses was wearing out. He saw the people, how they were getting frustrated, that their causes were not heard in a timely fashion. And Moses, unlike Rehoboam, listened to the wise counsel of a man of experience. Third character. And some of these kind of run together, don't they? The third one, aged men are to be temperate. In the material realm, intemperance caused us a lot of trouble. Unrestrained ambitions. We like ambitious people, but depending what their ambitions are, if they're unrestrained, it's a detriment. If our ambition is to have the biggest and the best in the way of material assets, it's not going to go very far in moving men from earth to glory. Can we say no to opportunities to increase our holdings when we have enough? This is what Wesley was referring to. Physical health depends on temperance. Eating, exercising, and resting are important. Too much or too little will cause issues to develop. To be temperate, we need to be a disciplined person. Just a couple verses here from Proverbs. Proverbs 24, 33-34. I went to the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Undisciplined lifestyle causes one to be in poverty. It's also poor stewardship of the resources that God has given us to use. Fourth, aged men are to be sound in the faith. Church needs older men that have been sound in the faith as they live their life. We can see that they're sound in the faith. We probably all know of men that at one time were sound in the faith, but somehow they have fallen away in their latter years, and that's very sad. Why does this happen? Maybe they were lacking in some of the things that we already spoke on. Thankfully, we also know of many who have stood for truth year after year, and they were faithful to the end of life. The aged should know what they believe. Men of conviction, men who stand for something. We need to know the word and how to apply it to our life. To be sound in the faith, we need to have a relationship with God. I think Brother Jerry pointed that out in Sunday school. We need to have a relationship with God. I think we need to stand in awe of God and his work among men. Perhaps one reason aged men might need to be encouraged to be sound in the faith, that one reason might be the aged men become tired. Maybe they feel like coasting the rest of the way. But the way is uphill, and the only coasting will be backward. So young and old, we need to keep on keeping on as we live a life of faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for due season we shall reap if we faint not. So let's keep on keeping on. Another character is older men should be sound in charity. We all need to exercise charity, but as older men, perhaps we get the feeling that we have been there and done that. We know and we have the right to criticize. Do we as older people have a tendency to find fault? Do we have a right to criticize? In case you're wondering, I did share this message about 18 years ago, and I saw in my notes this idea of the tendency to find fault. I wonder if that's one of the reasons God gave us Kenneth when we were afraid this would happen when we were in our 50s. To keep us from being critical of other parents whose children squalled in church. So we had the chief squaller, and it kept me humble and charitable to those that were also struggling with the same issue. So, you know, we as older people, we like it nice and quiet in church, and we don't have a lot of patience maybe with squallers, but we need to remember that we all had those difficult situation to deal with, and so we need to be patient, not be critical, but be supportive. We need to be charitable in issues that are non-moral issues. Can I accept it graciously? You know, there are some issues that are non-moral, but us older people, it's been this way for years, and we really don't want to change. Just for example, some time ago, there was a little discussion, and some people would prefer not to have the podium down here, but rather just have the pulpit and use that. You know, that didn't sound right to me, and I didn't like the idea at all. But really, that would be a non-moral issue, wouldn't it? And if the Brotherhood would decide to get away with the podium, I should be able to accept that. I should be charitable to them. All right. The older men are to be sound in patience. Patience, I believe, refers to endurance. The art of bearing up and pushing on, even though everything may seem to be going against us. Patience is persistence, which bravely bears the trials and afflictions of life without losing heart and giving up. To stay in the battle because we know God is in control and we're faithful, we can come out on the winning side. Many aged men have experienced hardships, disappointments. They have been misunderstood, unappreciated by some. But patience is the ability causes us to have the ability to keep a good attitude in the face of all this. Patience keeps a person from becoming bitter. We certainly don't want to become an old bitter man. We want to exercise these characters to keep us from that. Older men are to be disciplined and balanced, serious-minded and persevering. They are to be good examples to those who are younger. Verse 3 and 4 gives counsel for the older women. They are to be model in behavior, as becometh holiness. The way they appear, the way they conduct themselves, there should be a sacredness about the conduct of older women in the church. Godly older women can be very influential in the congregation. So, Tony led us this morning, tread softly, the Master is here. So, probably 60 years ago or more, maybe, we were in Sunday school, and Jerry can verify or discredit what I'm saying, because he was probably there, same as me. But apparently, so there was an influential woman in the congregation. Her name was Lucretia Shank. And so apparently we were getting real loud when we went to Sunday school, us young people, us little fellas. When we went to class, we were noisy. And I don't know exactly how it happened. I know she was not the Sunday school superintendent, but after one time, because of her influence, I think, we started singing this song. When we were going to Sunday school, the congregation would sing this song. And this continued, so that was at the Meckville Church. And so the Meckville there was a core of people from the Meckville congregation that went to the Rarisburg congregation, and Rarisburg congregation changed over to the Sotara congregation. And I don't know if Sotara congregation still sings that song every Sunday, but that core of people that moved from Meckville to Sotara were still singing it probably 40 or 50 years. So we see that older women do have influence. Well, Timothy learned the scriptures from his grandmother. Judges 5:7 uses the term mother in Israel, and our congregations today need the presence of older saintly grandmothers who can be a real inspiration to the family circle. and can add dignity to the testimony of the local church. Older women are not to be false accusers. And I believe this refers to the dangers of unguarded speech. Older women need to be careful about gossip, Bible chatter, and just talking too much. And really, I think we realize that we all need this admonition. Visiting is beneficial and great pastime, but can be very encouraging. But caution must be experienced about accusing others. When a person talks a lot, it's easy to engage in unnecessary talk about the affairs of others. Excuse me. Jeremiah 18:18. Then said they, "Come and let us devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words." Smiting with the tongue can be done very easily. Over the phone, person to person, in groups. So we all want to be careful not to be involved in this. Older women must not be given to much wine. Or older women must not be addicted to wine. And I understand that most of the water was unsafe to drink in their day. And people used a very diluted kind of wine as a common beverage. And among the unbelievers, older women had a reputation to be fond of wine. So this was a warning for the age of women, to abstain from things that are not becoming to Christian women. Consider the example that you are leaving for your children and grandchildren. Older women are to be teachers of good things. She is to teach younger women those things that are necessary, wholesome, and good, especially teaching in those areas that deal with the very heart of the home. Good housekeeping from a Christian perspective can be learned from older sisters rather than from glossy magazines or YouTubes. Just as older men who have raised their families, their work is not over, and neither is the work is not over for the aged women when their families leave the home. I believe that aged women should be a mentor, counselor, and instructor of the younger women in the church. Did you ever think about it? Titus was to instruct older men, older women, and the young men, and those that were servants. But I don't think he was told to teach the younger women. That is a job for older sisters. There is a list of things, though, that are to be taught. To be sober-minded, to be calm in spirit, ready to meet the circumstances of life with a real trust in God. The older women should teach the younger to love their husbands and children. I believe if there was ever a time when this was needed, it is today. Homes are breaking up right and left. We know about that. Children being misused and abused. Moving on to another aspect. You know, we probably don't think about it enough, but by and large, as I look over the congregation here, I see a people that have and do benefit in a very real way because of the work of the aged women. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that goes into making a home inviting and comfortable. And I overheard my sister-in-law visiting with Linda. Don't know if that was eavesdropping or not, but you know, that can be kind of fun. But anyhow, so I overheard my sister-in-law saying, or mentioning the fact that they were taught to make a balanced meal. I hadn't really ever thought of that. Hadn't given it much thought. But someone must have done some teaching. That's very obvious. Mennonite culture endorses good housekeeping. And I believe that good housekeeping is done by responsible people. Responsible people feel their responsibility to their families in providing not only for the physical, but also emotional and spiritual well-being. It's almost like a package deal. And I'm not suggesting that if you can't make the perfect shoe fly pie, you're not what you should be. But I am saying a well-ordered home brings glory to God. And could we say much of it started with grandma, the aged woman? Think about the seriousness of grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers. What if the trust would have been broken? What if she had not taught her daughters in the things that make for a godly home? Truly, we do benefit from a rich heritage. And I believe that those who have not had this opportunity, those that have not received this heritage, there are aged women that still can teach you. And you can start that heritage right now. So older women need to teach younger women to be good, discreet, chaste keepers at home. I believe the term discreet speaks of a sense of what is appropriate. It's a general word which means sensible, careful about what we do and how we say things. The word chaste means to guard one's moral purity. Keepers at home, one that considers homemaking to be a high calling, she is to learn to be a good housekeeper, seeking to make the home a place where the entire family wants to be, a place where orderly and godliness are evident. Obedient to their own husbands. The older women were to teach by word and example. The husband is to be the leader. And many times, after sufficient thought and discussion, the husband and wife agree on issues. But if, when that doesn't happen, the wife does herself and everyone else involved a big favor by submitting to the husband's leadership. Certainly there is much that the aging women can do. The life that they live blesses a large circle of people. My grandmother has been gone for many years, and of course my memory is not so clear of her, but I do have memories of her, and I believe that she fulfilled this teaching. I have no memories that would cause me to think otherwise. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing to have the people that we can look back to and say, yes, they fulfilled this scripture. Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her in the gates. Well, I think that verse stops and he praises her. But all right. I believe that my grandmother was worthy of that kind of praise. Next group of people that Titus was to address was young men, but we're not going to do that this morning. Maybe we can do that some other time. In conclusion, we'll say again, older members, older people are to manifest an attitude of self-control, humility of spirit, and a genuine love for those who are younger. Older men and women in the congregation should have maturity which comes from walking with God for many years. They teach the younger by word and example. This is one of the ways values are passed from generation to generation. And we need to be grateful for older members who pass on this Christian heritage. be the godly older men and women in the congregation are a rich spiritual resource. They deserve our respect and consideration. Leviticus 19:32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Proverbs 16:31, the hoary head is a crown of glory and if it be found in the way of righteousness. So, Lord bless all that are heading towards being the aged man and woman.